What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Isaiah Page.
Hey, it's your boy Tony Jenkins, man. We back.
Yes, sir. We back. We know it. We back with week one. Got some week one content for you. Didn't push anything out for week zero, but coming off the off season, so we know we kind of started this last year. It was probably what around the end of October,
Yep.
middle of October.
Got a late start on it.
We definitely got a late start. Wanted to put some off season content out for you guys, but listen, man, it's been a crazy off season.
Yeah, man.
I graduated. My boy had been working and whatnot.
Come on,
I haven't
man.
had Wi-Fi for consistent Wi-Fi for 7 to 8 months up until about a month ago.
Hey, it's just a lot going on, a lot of transition and a lot
Hey,
of progress being made,
straight
dog.
up, a lot
So,
of moving pieces, but don't get that confused. A lot of work being put in, a lot of
hey,
labbing being done.
we're gonna have the best scouting reports. We're gonna have the best breakdowns possible for y'all over the next few
Exactly.
weeks. Not even few, man. I'm glad, in particularly that the NFL season starting this Sunday, but we're here to bring y'all college football at its finest until the end of the season, all through the 12-team playoff. And with it being the first season of the 12-team playoff, it's gonna be a lot of details for you, bro.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, we've already pushed out a little bit of content. If you're following us on Instagram at House Call CFB, you can go on there and see our conference champ, our power conference championship predictions, 12-team playoff predictions. We're gonna continue to push content out on the socials. It
Hell
should
yeah.
be at House Call CFB through all of that. We're gonna have some YouTube content coming up. We just got back from Gainesville. Saw
Hey,
the saw Miami Florida game, technically the Miami game, but wasn't really the Miami Florida game. Which we are going to talk about today too.
Boy.
But yeah, we got some great things on the way for y'all. I promise we've been labbing. It hasn't been much of an off season for us. So, we're
Shout out
ready to
Gainesville, y'all.
absolutely, absolutely.
Any week we go to a game, we're gonna post content, post videos, post pictures from
100%.
that stadium.
And we've got a lot of games coming up. My boy going out to Tuscaloosa next weekend.
Shout out T-Town, man. I
Will
ain't never
be
been.
absolutely it will be I'll be in Tuscaloosa at the end of the month for Alabama, Georgia. So yeah, we got a couple games coming y'all's way, a lot of content coming y'all's way. So we appreciate y'all for sticking with us, appreciate y'all rocking with us. And
Come on, man.
without any out anything else, we'll go ahead and get into some of our week one
Yeah.
recap. So we are do just want to say we are recording this on Labor Day. So this is before the Florida State Boston College game tonight. If Florida State loses that game, panic time in Tallahassee, Florida. We will talk about that later this week
Hey,
if they do happen to lose.
show me a lot. Show me a lot, week zero.
Hey, really, really. So didn't talk about anything from week zero, of course, but obviously by now y'all know Florida State went out to Ireland and lost to Georgia Tech. Kind of facing an uphill battle. But it's crazy because it took us one game into the official college football season to really see the new era and see that just because Florida State lost a game doesn't mean that necessarily everything that they came into the season playing for, such as the ACC title, national title,
Yeah,
doesn't mean that all of that's out the window. So
definitely, because it's an ACC slot up for grabs.
hey,
It's gonna be,
absolutely.
I personally think it's gonna be hard to get one off of Miami, but it's another ACC slot up for grabs because it's not a lot of electric offense being played in the ACC right now.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, it's really a new era. Like Tom was saying, a lot of spots up for grabs.
Come on, man.
You can afford to kind of take an L this early in the season, whether you agree with it, whether you don't. It is the new era. Personally, I don't agree with it. We can have a whole nother episode on the topic of expansion and whatnot if y'all ever want to hear our thoughts on that. But we'll save that for
Yeah,
now.
we'll say that for real.
So we'll get into the week one recap. Got a couple games we want to talk to y'all about. Starting with UGA Clemson, and then we'll go, kind of hit on Miami, Florida, definitely hit on Notre Dame A&M. Of course, last night's probably the best game of the weekend in LSU USC. And then we'll hit on a couple other things too. I know he ready to talk about SC.
Shout out SC, man. I could not believe what they was putting on film last night. Like,
Hey,
I
they look
heard.
good.
I'm gonna just say this right now. I heard Lincoln Riley say that the objective of the offseason was to gain great weight, meaning that we don't lose any speed from the roster, maintain the high speeds, but being more physical and aggressive football team for the next season. Come on now.
Yeah,
Week
absolutely.
one in Las Vegas.
And it's the worst already showing. The worst already showing. You are what you're intentional about. Shout
Come
out
on
Steve
now.
Sarkisian. So,
Come on now.
got that on the horizon for you too. But before we get into any of that, we'll start off with UGA Clemson. So, for those of y'all that don't know, we are a Georgia-based podcast from Augusta, Georgia.
Shout out the whole time, man.
Right. So you can see my boy over here. He got all his Georgia
Yep.
stuff going on. So
Got
great
Georgia
weekend for him.
flags, got Braves hats. Come
Hey,
on, man.
right, right.
We all
So
over. Got Vic on the wall. Come on now. We real thing. We the truth. Come on.
it was a great weekend for my boy over here. Got saw UGAW, saw Florida L in person. So I'm sure most Georgia fans really enjoyed their weekend. But I'll
Hey.
let you get into it. What you see from Georgia's football team this weekend?
Dog, my favorite takeaway got to be Nate Frazier,
Okay.
freshman incoming running back from Southern California. Dog, he made it clear in his first week that he's not here to mess around. Can't travel the map that far just to not get your money, dog. He's on his league route, bro. Fast, quick, out the backfield, aggressive, got vision. Likes to fight through tackles, so you love it. Legs moving, dog.
Absolutely.
And with that being said, Trevor Etienne didn't even get his chance to play, and obviously he's the number one running back in the room right now. You want to leave Florida? You had the seat in Gainesville, left to go to Athens. He's obviously here because, dog. I'm not gonna talk about Florida right now. But we actually got championship caliber standards and expectations for a season, and he wants to get better. Iron sharpens
Hey,
iron, and
you went to the
and
right place.
come on now. I'm not here to trash Billy Napier, his program or his roster, but when you're surrounded by a lower standard, they might rub off on you. So you need to get up out of there. I'm glad he's here. But Nate, I'm about to say Nate Robinson. Shout out B Rob. But Nate Frazier, man, best takeaway from the game. I love the fact that Carson Beck has a more wide range of targets that he can throw the ball to
Absolutely.
now.
That's a big deal.
Come on now, spread the field out. We relied on Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey a lot last year, which they're great players, NFL talents, some of the best Bulldogs that we've seen in our lifetimes, y'all. Because not everybody knows we haven't always won national titles. We haven't always had Kirby Smart playing or being the head coach of our program, and just committed players to the championship tier that we have now playing for Georgia. But with that said, we got to a SEC championship versus Alabama yet again versus Nick Saban, and we're relying on Brock and Ladd just a tad bit too much.
Absolutely. And
Our
you
come
could
on
tell
now, and that goes
with
back to
them being
Nate Frazier
injured.
and his impact. Like he's RB2 with Trevor back. We're gonna have a better running back room than we had last year, and that's gonna be a pro. And with the receivers being just more widespread when it comes to targets, when it comes to who's a threat, who can get open, when it comes to Mike Bobo's scheme, I like the variety more this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was kind of my biggest takeaway too, especially offensively, was that run game, it was more explosive. They definitely lacked a element of explosiveness with Kendall Milton last year, which you really didn't expect with Kendall Milton being such a highly touted recruit.
Number one back out of California. Man, shout out K-Mill, man.
Yeah,
K-Mill,
and he's doing
K-Mill.
his thing in the league so far.
K-Mill
Pretty
had some
steep.
injury problems, but
He
yeah,
did.
K-Mill definitely.
Absolutely, absolutely. But it's just a very fact of the matter that
100%.
the running game did lack that kind of
100%. I thought I was
explosive
going to get more out of
element.
K-Mill.
Right. And so when you see it last on Saturday rather, and you see it against a really good run defense, like this shouldn't be confused with Clemson sucks. Like Clemson sucks offensively, but that's still a really good defensive unit, and it showed especially in the first half. That defense shined, holding Georgia to 6 points before ultimately, I mean, they were just on the field too much. Like you at a certain point, there's nothing you can do when you're getting leaned on by 350-pound guys all game. But the offense definitely started, or the run game in particular, started to kind of shine through late in the game. And Nate Frazier, as Tony was mentioning, he was a very I guess not sight for sore eyes, because I don't think many Georgia fans have sore eyes right now. But it was definitely
I don't think we
refreshing.
expected that, yeah.
Right. It was definitely refreshing to see a true freshman, a highly touted true freshman come in and make the impact that he had. And then, like Tony's saying,
He's hungry, dog. You can
right,
see it.
and that's not even RB1.
That's
So
not even RB1.
I think that running game is only going to get better as the season goes along, which will, to my next point, open things up for Carson Beck, who really looks like a Heisman front, not front runner, but Heisman favorite.
Big five, bro.
Beck's nice.
Big five.
And he's just got so many more weapons to throw to this year. They're much deeper out wide than they were. I don't think they have a, George Pickens on the team this year,
Okay,
but I
yeah,
don't think they
100%
necessarily
now,
need one.
100%, and that goes back. I was saying earlier, talking about Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers, they're great UGA players.
Right.
NFL talent, first round, second round picks, though. Like, you can't really ask for more out of your players.
Exactly.
But when you have more variety with your targets, when your quarterback has more threats or a equal level of threats that he feels like it doesn't matter who I throw the ball to, they're gonna get to their spot, they're gonna create a window, and he's gonna catch it just as good as the next man. It's a mental thing, bro, because it's not to say that any of these receivers can't break through and be NFL talents or first round caliber, second round caliber talents. But when you do have those players on the on your team who you know, man, this motherfucker a dog. This dude a dog. Like, I throw him the ball, he's exotic when it comes to catching that ball for real. He gonna make something
Absolutely.
happen no matter what. He gonna make a play. You get that caught up in your head when it comes to making your reads instead of necessarily being consistent to the right, being consistent to the left. And that's also college football like that, bro. You cater to your stars. And
Absolutely.
that's what we got a bad we got in the bad habit of doing that in a time period where we needed to rely on a little bit more last year in the SEC championship. We needed to win the game, and we came up short without having that variety. Not saying that the other players are just that much worse than Brock and Ladd were, but you can, not this year's team is on a more even level of a playing field, and they got everything to prove, and I love it.
And I mean, yeah, like London, I mean, Humphrey and Young both, I think, saw the end zone on Saturday.
Shout out Kobe Young, man,
Yeah,
transfer.
Kobe Young coming in from
He needed that
Miami.
though.
Is it London or Landon Humphrey? Coming in from
London.
Vanderbilt. London, I think it's London Humphreys coming in from Vanderbilt. So two big time transfers that are already making an impact in the passing game. And then what was really promising was it seemed like Lovett and specifically Arian Smith starting to kind of take that next step forward. Arian Smith is the fastest guy on the Georgia roster by
Yeah,
far.
track speed.
Track speed, and you might remember him. He had a big play against Ohio State a couple years ago.
Yeah.
One that ended up, really being a key piece of them winning the game. DB fell down, ADR touchdown. So
Man.
a big piece for them. And if he can start to kind of take that next step, I really think that that offense is just going to continue to get better as it goes along. One thing Tony did know earlier, they did get off to a slow start, which has been a common theme under Mike Bobo. And that's something, when you play Clemson, when
Hold
you
on.
play a team that's a little more limited offensively, you might be able to get away with that. But when you're playing a team
Yes.
like if you go out to when you go out to Austin, or when you go down to Vault Hemingway, or if you eventually meet, a very another, high octane offense in the SEC championship down the road, if you run into any of those issues, you can't really afford to get off to such a slow start offensively. But to pivot, it doesn't really matter when you have a defense as good as Georgia's, right? And one thing that I think was even more promising for me than anything was that defensive line play. They controlled the game. I mean, they controlled the ground all game long.
Playing through the whistle, dog.
Absolutely. And a lot of the
Clubbing on the
secondary,
ground, man.
right? See, and that's the thing. The secondary is going to get a lot of talk from, some of the bigger outlets, because they got stars back there, specifically Malachi Starks, who I think is probably the best safety in the country.
Come on, man. And shout out KJ Bolden, true
Right,
freshman.
Bolden came in
Big
and he
time
did
game.
his job. I didn't hear much or see much about Ellis Robinson when I was doing
Yeah.
my rewatch, but that's
Yeah.
probably because there wasn't much. I mean, he's a corner, there probably wasn't much for
There
him to
wasn't many
do.
tackles for him to make,
There
dog.
wasn't many plays to be made, because the defensive line for Georgia, especially in the second half, really started to kind of lean and started to take that game over. And they were really effective, especially in the run game. They really controlled. Phil Mafah could never get loose. D line, really just controlled, and that was really a point of emphasis for them coming off of last season. Was one, they struggled to get after the passer a lot and get the passer down to the ground, which I wasn't too worried about that coming into this year, especially with Mykel Williams. But the run defense was very concerning last year. Auburn ran all over them. Tennessee ran over them. Bama ran all over them. I mean, they gave up a lot of yards on the ground last year. And that just didn't happen yesterday. And if Clemson was going to be able to win the game, they were going to have to do that. And they didn't at all, at
No,
all.
not
And I
at
think that should be very promising
all.
for Georgia fans.
Not to mention, as they brought up earlier, the fact that last year's team would give up Tutty on the first defensive drive almost every game, it seemed like. It got to the point where Kirby said, we might as well just send the defense out there, tell them go, and tell them come back to the sideline so we can get the real game started. Because I just don't know what that is out there. Every time I send my defense out there on the field, it's ridiculous. But we won, so it was okay.
So, it's easier to work off things off a W than it is a L. That's always going to be the bottom line.
Come on, man.
Win is always the winning is always going to be bottom line. But at the end of the day,
Yeah, come on, man. So, like, I saw a lot of great things from Georgia, and I'm excited to see the next games. I'm loving this new SEC dynamic with all these teams, bro. We got to go to Texas. We got to go to Bama. We got to
absolutely.
play Florida, which, whatever. But hey, shout out to the shout out Jacksonville.
Absolutely,
Shout
absolutely.
out Frat Beach.
So
Shout out Gainesville, because the school, the campus, boy, oh boy. But
great time.
Billy Napier, get it together, brother.
Hey,
Like, I just don't understand.
we gonna y'all don't worry. Billy gonna get
I
talked
don't
about
understand.
Florida after this game, actually. So y'all know the rules. We talk about winners first.
You got you down to Georgia.
Well, we gonna I wanna talk about Clemson. I wanna hit about Clemson.
Bet.
So, Clemson, one reason I want to talk about Clemson is because I need to clear my name. I did pick Clemson to win the ACC champion, win the ACC this year. And that's not so promising to see your ACC championship pick go out and lose by 31 points to a team that, if Clemson 5 years ago would have competed with this Georgia team today. If you could have taken the Clemson team from 2018, 2019 with Trevor Lawrence and Amari Raj, all these boys on it, and dropped them in this era, they could have competed with this team. But that's not Clemson anymore.
That's a generational Clemson team. That's
Those are
an instant classic roster.
right.
Like,
Or even the teams that, the era of Clemson football that did win two national championships and went to two other national championships and just absolutely ran roughshod through the ACC. Those teams right there could compete. And I don't think that's Clemson anymore. And I do want to get that on record. I don't think that's Clemson anymore. I think yesterday was just proving that that's not Clemson anymore. But the good thing for Clemson is, and the good thing for me is, to make me not look like a complete idiot. They don't have to be that anymore to compete and even maybe even win the ACC. They're those caliber of teams aren't in the ACC. I mean, we saw Florida State. I think Miami, we're going to talk about Miami in a second. Miami is going to be a haul. They're going to have to deal with Miami. But outside of that, I mean, their toughest game the rest of the season is going to FSU. They go to Virginia Tech, but what does that mean when Virginia Tech can't be Vanderbilt, right?
Come on, man.
So I
And that
don't
was a
think.
second half performance from Vitek. Like, Vanderbilt owned them during the majority of the game.
Exactly. So I don't think it's necessarily, I mean, is it disappointing for Clemson fans to no longer be considered a tier one program in the country? Absolutely. And it should be because you've seen what the program is capable of, and you've seen specifically Dabo Swinney take you to the mountaintops and keep you at the mountaintop for, 6, 7, 8 years. However, when he was dominating the ACC, winning national titles, competing for national titles. So
From Taj
absolutely.
Boy to Trevor Lawrence.
They were always a national title threat. And then, Deshaun Watson came in, they finally win the Natty. And when you go from that to where you're at now, it's absolutely disappointing. But we also need to keep it real in the fact that this isn't a team that you can just throw to the wayside. This is still a very talented roster. Georgia does this to a lot of teams. Now, there is a pocket where it is disappointing because Clemson just 5 years ago wasn't every other team. But
At all, like, this was a Showtime matchup.
this was supposed to
Clemson
be.
versus Georgia in the dome. That's a
Yeah,
it's going
right.
down to the wire, fourth
And I
quarter, 60 minute
mean,
game.
is that, and even as recent as 2, 3 years ago, they were in Charlotte competing with Georgia,
Man,
right?
like,
So
come on, like I said, Taj Boyd to Trevor Lawrence, and there's a lot of great football players and good football players that have played for the university or for Clemson University. But dog, like DJU, they talked that trash. DJU had them
absolutely.
in the game 10-7, man.
Right,
It was a
right.
lot of not it was not a lot of offense played that night, granted, yes.
Yeah, it wasn't at all.
But hey, 10-7 final score, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's, I still do think there's a route in which Clemson, I don't know if I like them over Miami right now based on what we saw from Miami the other day.
Yeah, no.
But that being said, I do think Clemson
Hell
still
no.
has a great hey, absolutely not. But I do think Clemson still has a great shot at making it to Charlotte. And then right there it's a one game situation.
The best thing about Clemson's team is their defense, straight up.
Absolutely,
And I
absolutely.
want to just shout out AJ Terrell's brother.
Avion Terrell.
Ain't gonna lie.
It's a ball player. He's a future star. And that's the
That's a
thing.
ball
Like
player, man.
this Clem and that's what that's another thing is this Clemson roster, while it has taken a step back, they're maybe not as talented as they've kind of been touted to be. I think 247 Sports and their team total talent composite had them as a top five overall roster in the country. They may
See
not
there.
be they may not be completely that.
Come on, man.
But with that being said, there's still talent littered throughout this roster. There's NFL players throughout this roster, specifically on the defensive side of the ball.
Yes.
And where those and the reason I feel good about them offensively is because this was I had Georgia or I had Clemson picked to win the ACC, but you can also ask anybody around me. I mean, I bet on Georgia to cover it, to win and cover the spread
Yeah,
against
he
Clemson.
did.
I always felt like this was a really bad matchup for Clemson, especially
Yeah.
offensively. It was really just a tough matchup. This was not the game that they wanted to go into. They're not going to be
Yeah,
able to
like
stretch the field against a team like Georgia, who has such a star-studded secondary. So their only option is to run the ball, and
come on,
that's
man.
Georgia. I mean, Georgia just that was the only way they were going to win the ball or win the game, and Georgia prioritized winning up front, and it was evident early on that they weren't going to have much offense otherwise. One concern I do think is it doesn't look like Cade's going to ever turn that
Turn that
corner.
corner, man. And this is a five-star recruit we're talking about, man.
Absolutely, one of the
That
top quarterbacks coming up.
dog. You hit on Dabo Swinney and Clemson and them going from a tier one to tier two program right now, bro. Or just a few seconds ago. But right now, dog, like I just need to put it out there that Dabo is kind of proving to the world that he needs a generational recruit of a generational quarterback recruit to come through anchor. A
Anchor
group
a
of
roster.
kids, anchor a group of kids, and bringing in a strong and the strongest recruiting class in the country to make his team the best team possible. And it's just proven that coming into this year, they're ranking Clemson's strength of a roster that high off the strength of Dabo's name.
Yeah.
Because we can't say that based off of last season or the year prior to that. We get the ACC really hasn't had anybody try to come take it from Clemson, but they had a team better than Clemson last year. And they had a team, come on now, better than Clemson the year before that. Did Clemson win the 2022 ACC
Yeah,
championship?
they did win the 22 ACC championship.
With
They
no
went up
playoff
there.
appearance.
So that was yeah, that was not a playoff appearance here. They ended up
That's all.
losing a
They had
couple
three
games that year.
losses.
Yeah, they lost to famously South Carolina at the end of the season. But then that was when they went through the DJU to Cade Klubnik transition, got to the national championship, ACC championship game, played North Carolina. Cade Klubnik, had a day. And that was kind of where the hype started to build into Cade, and kind of circling back to where
See,
Cade was at,
yeah,
it doesn't
100%.
look like that's in there anymore. And it's sad because a big part of the reason I picked Clemson to win the ACC title was last year they famously started out 4-4 under new offensive coordinator Garrett Riley, a lot of moving pieces on the offensive side of the football, and then they reeled off 5 straight wins at the
Yeah,
end of the season to end up making a bowl game. And that's
come
still a
on.
9-win program. And I think that's where Clemson is at, is an 8 to 9 win program now,
Yeah,
which is okay to be
it's
upset
okay,
if
man.
you're a Clemson fan to hear that you're now that you've kind of taken a step back to be a kind of perennial, maybe 8 to 9, maybe 10 win program, with a
Come on
bowl game
now.
baked in there.
And people will take that as disrespect, but we're just evaluating the football that your team and program puts on film, dog. Like Dabo Swinney has blatantly disregarded the transfer portal, and
Absolutely,
come on
hasn't
now,
adapted.
he's came out of his own mouth saying that I just don't believe the kids in the portal are better than the kids that are at my school. I don't believe they do it the Clemson way. I'd rather go inside the high school recruiting databases and recruit kids, which listen now. So like, this is what I'm getting at. There's really no excuse for this drop of performance because Dabo still can recruit a 5 and 4 star kid like no other. He can get
Absolutely.
a kid to come to
Those
Clemson.
recruiting classes, high school recruiting classes, have been strong.
He can get a kid to come to Clemson straight out of high school, but they get to Clemson, and now we don't see what we were seeing in 2018. We don't see what we were seeing in the Deshaun Watson of a Clemson program, or even Taj Boyd. Like we saw, bro, from Hop's era, from CJ Spiller's era, we're not seeing that level of a talent on the field
On
at
the
Clemson.
offensive side of the ball,
On the offensive side of the
absolutely.
ball, Brent Venables' defense was amazing. Like he put some of the best defenses that Dabo has had came out of
Absolutely.
Brent
And
Venables' hands. But Dabo has made way in respect for the fact that I put a defense on the field no matter what.
absolutely.
So I can't take that from him. And like Barrett Carter, Terrell, he has defenders on the team that will go to the NFL. But for you to have 4 and 5 star recruits coming straight out of high school and competing for starting jobs at your school and your offense, what's the holdup? Because these are supposed to be some of the best kids in the country, but
You're
they
not
get to York.
developing.
You're not developing them. That's all I'm saying, bro. So people need to realize that those generational quarterbacks of Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence really anchor the recruiting class like no other. Because when you a dog ball player and you see a dog quarterback who's really about this chip when it comes to a championship, when it comes to getting better, being a standard, and making it to the NFL, you're gonna thrive off of what he brings and what the whole team is bringing to the table with that mindset of a standard and perspective, dog. So when you put that into play, has Dabo Swinney really developed these Clemson athletes who y'all look at as the school's faithfuls? It, dog, his program is great, but this man here is a great representation of the school, what the school represents, and he can lead their football team. But he got some boxes to answer. He got some boxes to check right now when it comes to his coaching
And building
persona,
a
his
roster.
coaching get down, bro. Like, I don't want to say his job is in danger because I, dog,
It's that's a yeah, no, that I get you.
yeah.
That's a tricky subject because
Yeah.
it's a school that's not historically winning,
Come on, man.
known for winning national
He's done the
championships.
greatest things ever for this program and school, and he feels the need to be respected due to that and because of that. And I think Clemson is the school that will allow him to sit in the seat because who knows, out the blue, he could anchor another recruiting class and a group of kids like that and bring them a 3 and bring them a 4. Why rush it now? I don't think Clemson's necessarily in a rush to see this on an annual year-to-year-to-year basis. Like some of these other programs are hungry to see within their football team or it's just athletic sporting staff as a whole. So if that's what Clemson's getting at, like, hey, we'll win when we win. It'll be all
Absolutely.
right, cool. You're just gonna have to accept these 10 and 9 and 8 win seasons. You gotta take them punches. You can't win everything. You can't win every year.
Exactly, especially when you're going about it the way they're going about it.
Come on
So,
now. In this different new day and time of college football, portal and
gotta
NIL era, man.
adapt or die.
Come on, man.
So yeah, I mean, I still do think Clemson is in a good position to win, compete for an ACC title, not win an ACC title. I think they're still in good position to
Compete.
compete for an
They haven't
ACC
played their best
title.
football.
They haven't played their best football, and it's week one. There, that is an important factor to kind of bake in there. And I mean, I remember a couple of years ago, Dan Lanning took his Oregon football team down to Mercedes-Benz Stadium and got papped around by Kirby Smart's
Come
Georgia
on now,
football team. That
man.
was a very good Georgia football team, don't get me wrong, but they went on to have a great season afterwards, and compete for a conference title out there. So out in the Pac-12, RIP the Pac-12. So I
RIP the
don't think
Pac-12, man.
RIP that hits hard, but I don't think it's over for Clemson. They still obviously plan for everything in front of them.
Stay
And
hungry.
they have a favorable schedule, like I said. So don't just completely write this Clemson team off. And don't make fun of the people that pick Clemson when ACC. It's not over yet. So on to you got anything else on Clemson? Anything on Georgia? You good?
Oh man, I just want to. I'm gonna read y'all the stat line, dog. Carson Beck put up 278 yards, 2 touchdowns, had a 91.7 quarterback rating, so 23 completions over 33 passes. And Nate Frazier had 11 carries, 83 yards, and 1 TD, dog. Those are my Big stats of
Impact
the
players at
day,
the game.
impact players. I love Malachi Starr's pick. Mac Bobo, you're growing on me a little bit. Keep it up, buddy. Keep it up.
Hey, because if you would have heard the way he was talking about you about 10 years ago, Mike,
Mike,
it's a big deal.
keep it up, Mike. Keep it up.
So
Let's win some.
on to Miami versus Florida, a big rivalry game. These two teams, if there's one thing I took away from the stadium on Saturday, from being in Gainesville on Saturday, those two teams and fan bases hate each other. They despise each other. About five, six fights that almost broke out around us, and we were sitting about as high as you can sit in the stadium. So I can only imagine what it was like closer to the field. But it was hot. It was fun. We were in the shade.
We were in the shade.
And
Yes.
thankfully, thank the Swamp and I guess the Florida administration for that
Video
big
board.
video board that they have, yeah, on the, what is that, the east end of the end zone, maybe? I don't know. But or the east end of the stadium rather. But so Miami went on to win this game 41-17. Somehow, I mean, the score sounds bad, and somehow the score sounds even closer than the game really was. It was an absolute dominant performance from Miami, and it was evident early on that it wasn't going to be much
Contest.
of a contest, right? I told Tony, like, you could just feel, I mean, after that first drive, I think Florida had ran six or seven plays. You know, they picked up one first down, first play of the game to Eugene Wilson, and then didn't really move the ball much after that. And right after that, Cam Ward took Miami, I mean, surgically down the field. I don't even know if
Boy.
they faced a third down. And I mean, after that, it was kind of evident. You know, Florida made one big play. They answered back with Montrell Johnson's 75, 80-yard touchdown run, you know, to cut it back down to one possession lead. And then, I mean, after that, it was lights out. It was
Yeah, man.
energy left the stadium. Miami, quote unquote, drained the swamp. So, you know, like we
Man,
said,
yes. The Miami fans were down there talking they trash. They talking they
talking
shit,
that
but
cash.
yeah.
So you know, like we said, we talk about winners first. So we'll dive into Miami here. Personally, for me, I think I don't know what else you need to see to say that the U might be back. They might be all the way back.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't the team from 2016, 2017 that beat a bad Notre Dame team and then, you know,
Humbug wins. Out of blue
beat a
wins.
bad Notre Dame team. You know, got to the top 15, 10,
We're gonna
even
do it for
five.
real tonight,
They
guys.
right. They
Man,
were
come on
top.
now.
They were, I
Let's
think they were
get
ranked
real.
one or two in the country that year, and then went over to Charlotte to play Deshaun Watson in the ACC championship and just got thrashed.
Come on now.
This isn't that squad. This is a legit squad with legit talent all over the roster.
And that's why Cristobal was brought in. Shout out Mario Cristobal,
Absolutely,
man.
absolutely. And this was to Cristobal's credit. He gets a lot of flack because of his in-game decisions, and rightfully so. But they circled this year. You know, when they took the job, they circled this year, 2024, as in year three. I think this is the year that we're building towards. We're going to be able to be really good this season. And you know, they needed to get that quarterback. They needed to get that impact player behind center, and they've got it. They've got it in Cam Ward. Cam
Sweet.
controlled the game from first play to the last play. I mean, he made every play, every throw imaginable. It really couldn't have been a better debut for Cam Ward. If you're a Miami fan.
Come on, man. Cam Ward was walking out of bounds before putting his feet on the baseline
On the
in the Florida defenders' faces.
first offensive snap on the game, might we add?
In the Florida defenders' faces, like, yeah, I'm out here to beat y'all, and that's about it.
Right,
Y'all,
right.
Cam Ward showed me. That man, I came to Miami to try my shot at a ring. Like,
Right.
he's the most completing pass that he's ever been. I saw Cam Ward read three levels of routes in the same play. His composure in the pocket is insane right now. That's the best he's ever been. He stretches routes, he stretches plays, he can maneuver outside of the pocket and still read the field. He can be he can be stationary, but he doesn't mind using his legs at all. He is not a stationary quarterback. He's not limited to that dog. I saw him read crossing routes with a check down there and deep routes at the same time and wait the longest possible to make throw, bro.
Absolutely, he's very patient.
Come on now, those receivers have time to find the zone, sit down in the zone, and have chemistry with the quarterback. You can tell that they pass the ball and catch the ball a lot from this kid, man. They have a lot of chemistry on that offense. And I still think that they didn't even play
They
their best football game
didn't.
because this team is just that good. But they have a running back who didn't really have to be used. Their running game didn't really do too much versus Florida. But Cam Ward's composure in that pocket, man, his ability to be cool, calm, and collected, reading the field and getting the ball there efficiently, bro. He's throwing darts, lasers, like, okay, boom, at the last second. He's quick, he's reactive. Cam Ward is showing us a lot, man.
And they've got, you know, to Tony's point, they've got some weapons around them. They got the running back transferring from Oregon State,
Yeah, Damian Martinez.
Damian Martinez. And he, I mean, like Tony said, they didn't even really need to use him. And
Yeah,
he still
Damian.
flashed when he was on the field. They, I mean, it felt like, I don't have the running numbers in front of me, but it felt like, I mean, they were just leaning. Every time they ran the ball, they leaned for it for six, five,
Come on,
six, 7 yards at a time.
they did that in the first quarter a lot.
Right,
Starting the
absolutely.
game, they did that.
And then, you know, out wide they've got weapons for him, especially with, you know, Xavier Restrepo. He's a big name. He I was close to 1,000 yard receiver. I don't know if he quite eclipsed 1,000 last year. But if not, he was definitely close to it. And then, you know, Elijah Arroyo as well. So they've got, you know, and that's not even, I mean, they got George out there. They've got a couple other guys out there. That's just the two that had a big game.
Come on, man.
You know, and they're gonna become that those weapons with Cam Ward throwing the ball, they're gonna become a household name
Come on,
all
man.
year. I will say I'm going to be interested to see how that O-line handles a little more pressure moving forward. That Florida D-line,
No
I noticed
no
they
pass rush.
no pass rush.
No
They, I
pass
mean, so
rush.
often they sat in a three-man front, which
But
I
they were
just.
so nervous. Hey, listen. They were so nervous. Cam Ward got the gunslinging so well
They
in this game, yo.
were
Yeah,
just sitting back.
Florida was dropping back the most DBs possible, dog. They were in nickel set
Nickel
and
and
dime
dime
packages,
all
dog,
day.
all game long. And he is still putting the ball in the throwing windows, and these receivers still want to run around and find the zone and make the best grab possible, create the best throwing window
Right.
possible, dog. Like, we saw Miami literally obliterate Florida now. Like, they got the whooping on
They
that ass now, for real.
absolutely, absolutely. And at a certain point, if you're my biggest gripe with Florida, especially defensive scheme, was if you're afraid of the QB sitting back there and throwing the ball all over you, why are we gonna give them all day to throw?
Come on, man.
That just doesn't make much of any sense.
Come on, man.
So, you know, for them to see Florida just not play all that aggressive style of football, especially defensive football, it was kind of disappointing. They
It
really
killed
just,
me, bro.
right, they play scared. They play, you know, they play like they
It
were
killed
the
me.
they played like they were the ones with something to lose, quite frankly, and
Dog.
they had nothing to lose in this game. I mean,
Week one at their home
You
stadium.
weren't even favorites in your own home stadium to open the season against probably one of your biggest rivals, just because they don't play each other every year. But listen, we were in the stadium. Those two teams do not like each
That's a
other.
state rivalry,
It's
man.
an in-state rivalry. Just because they don't play each other every year, don't get it confused. They don't like each other. And for
They don't
if I
like each
was a
other.
Florida fan, we'll talk about Florida in a second, but if I was a Florida fan, I'd be very upset with the way the defensive play calling was kind of approached, and they just kind of let Cam dance back there. Like Tone said, he's not afraid to move around, and he showed that. And you know, when you're not getting any pressure and you're facing a quarterback that can't move around and work the pocket, and you know, not only work the pocket, but work behind the line of scrimmage to where he's still eligible to pass the ball and
Come
wait
on,
for
dog.
guys to get open. It just,
No stunts.
right, it
No
just got
DBs are
ugly.
blitzing, man.
It got ugly,
They
man.
couldn't run match man coverage. They couldn't even run really a match type of zone. I saw DBs in no man's land when it comes to their eyes. They
They
composure
don't know
out
what they're
there.
doing.
They're real tense, man, and not in a good way.
Not just fight, they're just not firing.
Not firing, but they timid. They don't know necessarily know which way to go.
Absolutely.
They're scared. Like as they said, for real. Like we saw that shit from the stands. We
Exactly.
saw that from the stands, man.
Exactly.
It's all over the film.
Defensively, I think for Miami, it's about as good as you can ask for. They gave up that one big play to Montrell Johnson. But other than that, man, I mean, the only other touchdown was the DJ Lagway drive in the second half, when the game was already over.
Hey.
You know, they scored a touchdown then, but I mean, the game was kind of out of hand. And I know the rushing numbers, you know, from Florida's perspective weren't bad. But with that
Because
being
that
said,
breakaway big play.
exactly. I guess if you're looking to nitpick Miami's performance, it would be against Florida's running offense. Florida averaged 5 yards per carry, carried the ball for a total of 139 yards on the ground. But with that being said, when you have an 80 yard run baked in there, it's kind of,
Come
I
on,
mean, it
man.
kind of influences the numbers already.
Biggest player in
And
the
then,
game for Florida and the Swamp. The Swamp got up a little bit.
oh, it got loud for that
It
one.
got
It
up a
was
little
early
bit.
in the first quarter. They cut it back down to a touchdown lead. But if you're, I mean, if you're looking to nitpick it, they are going to want to be better, there. But I do think they got the talented defensive line enough to kind of, I don't know if that's going to be as much of a concern moving forward. But if there is a route though, in which they don't figure it out, maybe they're not as good in the run game as they thought they would be. And that can cause some problems down the road, possibly. I don't see it happening.
Come on.
But other than that, defensively, I mean, they couldn't move the ball through the air for anything.
Dog.
Only
They
passing
tried to,
plays.
man. Like, it was a couple bombs they took.
They tried, but it was nothing open. And it's because
Try.
I mean, they've got the guys back there, right?
Try.
So I think defensively it was a fine performance for Miami. Maybe there are a couple things to clean up. We're not gonna act like it was perfect. Just in evaluating the game, evaluating what we saw. But yeah, I mean, other than that, it was about as good of a first week as you can ask for if you're a Miami fan.
Yeah, dog. Miami fans. We sat around a couple of them, and one of them told me to my face, "Oh, we expecting to win,
Right,
100% for
absolutely.
sure." And they're excited to have a team that they have never had in a long time. Like, dude told me to my face, he was like, "Man, we never have a team like this." And I sat next to a girl. She told me, "I did not think we were going to be good this year. I thought we were going to be, who knows?
Miami
Maybe we'll win. Maybe we'll lose."
thought they were going to be the U of old, the U that we've seen since,
That's just not it, man.
the early 2000s, that just can't get the job done, whether it's they just suck completely or they lose big games.
That's just not
We've
respectable,
right,
man.
absolutely. We've
Not when you're the
seen,
University of Miami, bro.
right,
This is where the U originates, dog.
it means something, and I
To an
think it means
athlete,
something again.
to a jock, to a ball lover, ballless life advocate, the U supposed to mean something. It does
Absolutely.
mean something. Shout out the 01 Hurricanes. Shout out the Hurricanes that came before them. Bro, that is straight football swag.
Absolutely,
Straight football
absolutely.
swag, straight
So,
championship caliber, real perspective, real mindset, real demeanor.
absolutely. So, congrats to Miami. Congrats to their fans. Tony actually had Miami picking, winning the
Yep,
ACC.
I got Miami winning the ACC, y'all.
So I had Miami finishing runner ups to Clemson. Boy, I don't feel great about that pick right now, but
We gonna be able to change it, y'all. Don't worry. We gonna
oh.
see, y'all. We gonna
Right,
see.
right. Shout out our boy Josh Pate. He be changing his picks mid-season, boy. We go ahead and
Come
make
on,
some
Pate.
adjustments we need to.
We on that, Pate.
Moving on to Florida. It's time to address it, man. It's time to address it. There is no dancing around it. Billy Napier is on the hot seat. He's coaching for his job.
100%.
And he, I mean, he knew. I think he knows he was on the hot seat coming into the year, which is crazy considering. I think this is only year two. Last year was year one.
This ain't year
To
three.
be nah, because Dan Mullen was there the year before that. So for him to be on the hot seat, already this early in his tenure, yeah, it is concerning, but or it's crazy, not concerning, but crazy to say, but. With that being said, I mean, there's just been nothing outside of the Tennessee game. Actually, this is year three.
Okay, yeah.
So this is going into year three. But outside of he's now 11-15 in his Florida career. And outside of the Tennessee win last year, they haven't even been competitive in these big games.
They're not, they
I
have to
mean,
have a chance. They don't
right,
have a
they
chance.
haven't loved it. There's no excitement. I mean, if you, I don't know, we have a friend Trey. He was with us. He was also in the swamp. I don't know if any of y'all and anybody else listening to this was in the swamp, but if you did, and maybe even watching it on TV, you might have heard, like, there just wasn't any energy. There was no able to get going. The fans knew early on. I mean, there was a point the offense got booed off the field. And it was early in the game. It wasn't even the second
Yeah.
half. It was second quarter. Graham Mertz got hurt. They couldn't move the ball. And the offense got booed off of the field. And the only thing that Florida fans really had to look forward to yesterday was the fact that DJ Lagway, the one of the top quarterbacks in the country from last year's class, Gatorade player, National Gatorade Player of the Year,
They
he
play
did
the
get in the
kid that's
game.
on the Gatorade commercial.
Absolutely. If you've seen it, you know him. He did get a chance to kind of flash what he had. And I like what I saw from DJ. I thought DJ looked really good, considering kind of the situation. I mean, it's his first. It was his first college game ever, and he's over here having to take over for Graham Mertz, who got hurt.
I think this might be the best thing that could happen to him, though, because he needs to be on the field
He
again,
needs
in
to,
my
right,
opinion, in my opinion.
absolutely. I completely agree. I think he gives them, after what I saw, I think he gives them the best chance to win, which it sounds like Graham's going to be out for a couple weeks, so we'll see. They've got Samford, and then they've got Texas A&M coming to town, so they've got
Okay.
back-to-back home games, and then but that A&M game is not going to be easy. And that defensive line, if that offensive line looks like how it looked against Miami, then Texas A&M's defensive line is going to be able to bother DJ all game long. So,
Boy, that's real physical defense, dog.
yeah,
Dang,
absolutely.
come on.
So, I feel bad for the Florida fan base. I know he ain't got no sympathy for Florida, but me, as I'm not a Georgia fan, so I don't have any problems with Florida, any problems with the
Yeah.
Florida fan base.
Shout out Trayvon Davis, for real. And look, dog, speaking on the Gainesville experience, just the stadium, the campus,
absolutely great, great area.
bro, it was just good to
It's fun
see. It was
times.
good to see the building where some of my, some of them dogs from my childhood played. It's good to see the campus where
Right, and not
some of them,
Bulldogs,
yeah, it's not Bulldogs. I'm
dogs.
talking about dogs as football players.
Right,
I
mercy.
respect the craft of football. I respect the game of football. And yeah, Florida ain't my favorite team. Florida ain't my roots. I'm a Georgia boy to the core. But you can't help but respect the fact that there's been some legends come through. And
Absolutely, and
I appreciate it, bro.
absolutely, absolutely. No, it was a great time, a great thing to see, and we really enjoyed our time down there. I really wish the game was going to be a little more competitive. But I mean, to that point, talking about a competition aspect, there it was a clear difference in effort, intensity, and talent, like across the board between Miami and Florida. And I think that's where Florida fans are probably the most concerned. Is it
Yeah, right.
there was no positive takeaway
These
from
boys are like,
any
they don't
game they
care about
saw.
losing to
Absolutely,
Miami.
absolutely. Like they act like they don't care. It was the
What?
intensity. I mean, the crowd was more intense than the actual
Come on,
players were,
man.
it felt like. And then the talent though, like the talent discrepancy is really, especially up front. Florida got bullied on both sides of the
Like,
front, on both fronts, defensively, offensively. They looked like they could not hang with Miami, and that should never,
it's supposed
ever
to go
be the
down to the
case.
wire.
That should never be the case
It's
at the
supposed to go
University
down to
of
the wire.
Florida.
But that,
They're
and
big, we're big.
come
What
on
they're strong,
now.
we're strong. They're good, we're good. It's
That
supposed to be
goes
strong on strong, and it
back to what
wasn't.
I'm saying, bro. It's a respect thing. When you a baller, when you understand what it takes to actually go out there on that field and compete for 60 minutes, be on that team, a college program, D1 level, FBS level, bro. Listen, I've seen some of the best talent in college football history come through Florida at periods in time. And now we're seeing some of the worst college football when it comes to these P4 conferences out of Florida, bro. I seen Urban Meyer coach here and the teams that he put on this grass, man. And this team be known for speed and strength and bullying. And now that's just not the case. And as a Florida, as if somebody out of Florida or as a Florida fan, I definitely would take that a lot, like very personal. Like very,
Absolutely.
very personal, because like Zay said earlier, we've seen the best of this. We've seen that with the hype. And we haven't really had any plans of not winning football games or just not valuing football anytime soon. So we don't understand what the hell's going on.
Right.
Because it's been a long time since they were really competing for SEC championships on a consistent basis. Now the Kyle Pitts team and the Kyle Trask team, they did have a run and a good football roster, but that's not Billy.
No, that
And
wasn't Billy.
that's not Billy. That's 1 year. And if that was something to build off of, Billy would have never gotten his job. So Billy's here to really make some shaking and shift culture. And duh, we've seen kids, it seemed like kids rebelling. It seemed like hey, everybody out here for themselves.
Yeah.
And this is a team sport where anybody who knows what it's supposed to look like, knows that ain't what it's supposed to look like.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree. So yeah, it's rough times on in Gainesville. Like I said, I mean, you got Samford coming to town, whatever that means, and then
Whatever that means.
whatever that means, and then you got A&M coming to town, and then once you kick off
Come on, man.
SEC, y'all have all seen the schedule. We're not even gonna run through it. Y'all seen Florida's schedule. It's been talked about all off season. They got the hardest schedule
In
in the
America.
country, right? I mean, they end, I think, with like six current top 10 teams. So it doesn't get like that. That's kind of the moral of the story. It doesn't get any easier for Billy. So like, if you're coming out here like this now, what do you do when you go, when A&M comes to town, and then when you later on in the season, you got LSU, you got Georgia, you got,
Come on, man.
Texas, you got some teams coming up that were projected to be better than Miami.
Yeah.
So what's that gonna look like? So
Yeah, in Florida.
something to monitor for sure.
The Florida players gotta have some respect, man. It's a production-oriented game. Like,
Absolutely.
where the production at, man?
There was no
It
production.
looks like nobody's in the lab. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to be good or go to the
Y'all been
NFL.
playing the game
Like,
all season like we have. So,
bro, like
what are
what? And like that's what he'll tell you. But well, I got a PlayStation and don't play it. Like, straight
the
up, ain't nobody been playing that game. Like, hey, come on now, y'all want to be NARPs? Y'all can get off the field and get in the stands, but don't go out there playing football like that. But y'all in the SEC for real. Have it
Absolutely.
together, bro. Come on now. What is that? And
Absolutely.
that's, hey, oh my God, I didn't think you were a Florida fan. I'm not. I respect football. That ain't how you play it,
It's
bro.
not.
That ain't how you
You're
play
not
it.
putting your best foot forward, dog. Straight up, I don't know what else to
That
tell
ain't how
you.
you play it, bro.
It's
I'm
not. It's not
telling
what it's supposed to look like. It's not ever what it's supposed to look like at the University of Florida.
Straight
So,
up,
Florida
man.
fans, we get it. We respect it. And if you shouting from the rooftops, just know we shouting with you. So on
Come
to
on, man.
probably the game of Saturday, Notre Dame A&M. That was a great game. I thought it was a great finish. I guess great game might be a stretch. It was kind of a sloppy, ugly game. But
Because of these physical defenses, two
absolutely,
physical
absolutely. It
defenses,
was
dog.
if you like college football, though, I think it was kind of everything that you're really looking for, especially in week one.
More of a traditional type of
It
college
really
football
was. It
game.
really was a really interesting matchup between two really interesting brands. Notre Dame, obviously a bigger brand. A&M's got their own kind of brand that they've got, but it was a solid helmet matchup.
Hell
Something you're
yeah.
really looking for. But once again, y'all know the rules. We talk about winners first. So Notre Dame won this, took care of this game 23-13. They iced it with a field goal to go up two possessions late in the game. And I think, for Notre Dame, I think the biggest thing is this is Mark Freeman's first key win. This was a huge win for Marcus Freeman.
Come on, Marcus. You
You
needed
know,
that one, dog. Shout out Mark
absolutely,
Freeman, man.
absolutely. Yeah,
Shout out
that's
Marcus
that
Freeman,
is
man.
a Marcus Freeman don't know it, but he's a friend of the program.
Come on, man.
So for Marcus Freeman, for this Notre Dame team that's, entering a new era after Brian Kelly, famously left for LSU.
Yeah.
Especially last year, it felt like they were right there on the verge. And then the loss to Ohio State in South Bend was gut-wrenching. I mean,
That
to lose
was.
it the way they lost it, they had that game in control, and then just kind of fumbled it away, go on to lose on the last play of the game.
Got a dagger, bro.
Absolutely, yeah, it was a
Take
dagger
all that
to
way that I
right,
got you.
exactly. And then they go on, they barely beat Duke on the road, barely. They weren't bad last year, but there was definitely room for improvement. And
Yeah.
it felt like that OSU loss just kind of took some wind out of their sails, and they don't have that problem this year to go on the road to win in that environment. That is one of the toughest places to play in college football. If you, I've never been to A&M. I've got people that have been to A&M. They told me that energy is off the charts. It's one of the loudest places to play. Obviously, one of the biggest stadiums in the country, a night game, and to go in there and gut a win out. It's not like, it was a fluke. Like, you gutted that win out. You fought hard for it. It was just a very gutsy win, and very happy for Marcus Freeman, and really for Notre Dame fans, all over. I think they've been, kind of itching to get a W like this under their belt, and it's just a huge momentum boost to start the season.
Real talk, man. Like, I'm glad to see Marcus Freeman get that first win. Like,
100%.
that's my biggest takeaway from this game, really, dog. Notre Dame got some crazy NFL talent on defense with Morrison. But Riley Leonard on that offensive side of the ball, I was really wondering what they were trying to get at.
Yeah.
It was kind of confusing to me, but as time went on, as the quarters went on, as it got closer to that second half, man, I saw that, okay. They running this balance type of, we're gonna let them run offense. I don't know if I can even compare that to an NFL style of play, like a Josh Allen type of quarterback, because Riley Leonard is 6'3". He got a frame on him. He got an arm too. He can throw the ball.
That race
But
size, but
I don't know what Notre Dame's vertical offense is looking like this year. I don't know what their threats are looking like. I'm gonna have to do a little bit more film review on that. But they fought for
they
that
fought.
W.
They
And
fought.
after the game, Riley said, "Hey, I didn't play my best game. And I don't know, hey, I don't know why y'all are interviewing me, because we ain't win because of me."
Right.
And I can
That's
respect that so
respect.
much, bro, because
It's a leader.
you put a lot of work in. You're a leader. You're a voice of the team. You lead a team in a lot of different ways as the quarterback.
Absolutely.
And he was able to get out there, still make way for the W. It was nasty. It was gritty, but he made way for the W. And afterwards, put all the respect and put all the, credit on his teammates.
100%.
I just love that. That's my takeaway. I know Notre Dame's defense is insane. I love what I'm getting from their secondary and their trenches right now. I just want to see them. I don't want to say A&M is not a good team, but A&M's defense, I
They're
want to say, is
right.
better than their offense.
Yeah.
Wagman or
Wigman.
Wigman.
Yeah, that was
I'm
a
just
disappointing. It was
I'm
disappointing
skeptic.
performance from him.
I'm skeptical about A&M right now in their offense.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, Notre Dame offensively, I think my biggest takeaway offensively was just that offensive line performed much better than kind of expected. They've got a young offensive line replacing a lot of starters up there. Might even be replacing all five starters up there. Obviously Joe Alt, top five draft pick in the NFL. That's a big loss. And they're replacing them all with sophomores and freshmen. Like, so for a group of freshmen and sophomores to go into a place like that and perform against a defensive line such as A&M's with, Nick Scorton and the boys up there, and they scrapped. Like, it wasn't perfect. It didn't have to be. It didn't have to be. Like, they got the job done. And I thought that was really impressive. You
Come
know,
on, man.
I figured when you're going into an environment like that
In this
with a bunch
station.
of freshmen and sophomores, you might have false starts and holdings and everything else of the nature, penalties all over the place, and really struggle to get anything going offensively. And that just wasn't the case. They ran the ball effectively. Like you
Hey.
said, Riley, I mean, Riley wasn't great. He said it after the game, but once again, he didn't have to be. He just got to win the game.
Got to
And
win it.
there's still things to clean up offensively. I am concerned about that vertical ability, the ability to stretch the field vertically, as you were saying, Tone.
I don't know how good those receivers are gonna be, but
Right,
hey,
right.
we'll
But they,
see.
Notre Dame's always gonna have a tight end on them. So they've got
No
an
cap.
NFL caliber tight end out there. But at a certain point in college football, a tight end can only take you so far as stretching the offense vertically, unless you got a guy like Kyle Pitts. So shout out KP.
Shout out to KP.
So it was, I mean, it wasn't the prettiest offensive game, but once again, it doesn't have to be. The name of the game is get a W. Like I said, you'd rather work on things coming off a W, fixing things off a W, than you would fixing it off a L. It sucks fixing things off a L. It's
Come on,
hard to
man.
fix things off a W. You'd
Come
rather
on,
do it
man.
off a W. So, defensively, I think this is another elite unit led by Marcus Freeman. When hasn't he had an elite unit led by Marcus Freeman? He's, I mean, even when Brian Kelly was there, great defensive coordinator. And now, he's the head coach, and you're starting to see his fingerprints all over this team. They are as good defensively as they maybe have ever been
I ain't
in
gonna
our
lie.
lifetime. They are really good
That defense
defensively.
was great, I saw.
Really good defensively. And they're not facing any great offensive units, but even dating back to last year when they've had players step up, I thought this was, kind of a full effort defensively. If you look at the box score, they only had one sack, they only had a few tackles for losses. They weren't, necessarily wreaking havoc, but it was just that everybody show up, everybody do their job, everybody win their assignments, and we're gonna get out of here. And that's what they did. They really controlled the game defensively, forced Wigman into a couple of mistakes. A couple of, I mean, really some bad throws by Wigman, if we're being completely honest. But
It kind of looked uncharacteristic based off of what he showed us last year.
absolutely.
But you can't really, that's minimal film.
Right, right.
It's still not everything yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought, defensively for Notre Dame, they've definitely got some room for improvement. I did see that A&M had 90 yards 90 yards after contact in a rushing game. So they definitely need to shore up some tackling. They had a couple of sacks, kind of in their grasp where they let Wigman get away. So they need to, definitely clean up the tackling. There's definitely room for improvement, from a
100%.
production standpoint on the defensive side of the football. But,
100%. And I'm not giving them slack for that, but I know A&M got that running game is all they have, really.
right,
So,
absolutely, absolutely.
it, based off of how, what's Wagman?
Wigman, Wigman.
Based off of how he played, dog, that running game is what they really had to lean on as far as production. So, it was a physical game. But hey, yeah, you're right. Nah, it ain't no excuse for missing no tackles.
Right, absolutely. You got to, I mean, especially when your coach is Marcus Freeman, you got to make the tackles. You
You
got a
got that.
defensive minded coach. You
Come
got,
on now.
some of the best staff, you got to make the tackle. So I think they'll get that cleaned up. They'll do some tackling drills, some, get, I think they'll get that cleaned up. I think you'll see a better tackling unit defensively as we go through the year. And it's important to remember, like, A&M, they're not playing scrubs, guys.
Yeah,
Like,
that's what I'm
it's
saying.
not right. It's not easy for them. Some of these guys don't go down easily. These guys big too. These guys good
Some of these
too,
guys are
right?
NFL
So,
players or
right.
NFL caliber players too. They want to go to the league. They're trying to be the best. They play football to do a little bit more than just have fun.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Come on
So,
now.
shout out to Notre Dame. They've got a favorable schedule the rest of the way. This was a big one. They later on in the year they go to Tech to play in Bobby Dodd, which you don't know what you're gonna get based off what we've seen from Tech so far. As far as if they're good enough to compete with a team like Notre Dame, obviously good enough to beat teams like FSU. So is that going to last through the whole season? They took care of Georgia State this year. I'm not saying that there was any, or this year, this week. I'm not
Gotcha,
saying
yeah.
that there was any concerns, with Tech this week. I'm just saying by the time we get there, they come to Bobby Dodd a little later in the season. By the time we get there, is that still going to be the same Tech team? They've got FSU coming to town late in the year as well. But once again, they get that in South Bend, and who what's that FSU team going to look like back then? So, other than that, they've got pretty favorable schedule. So I think this was a big win. I think this is gonna kind of be a win that, probably get them in the playoffs. So this is, I mean, you think about it, if you got a 12-team playoff, say they lose one game to maybe a top 15, 20 FSU team, if they're that when they get there, then we're definitely looking at a playoff berth for Marcus Freeman, and the Fighting Irish. But we're not here to talk about playoffs. It's only week one. We don't want to think about the playoffs. So
Glad to be back.
absolutely, absolutely. Playoffs means we're going away again. So, on to Texas A&M. This was a tough one to drop in Elko's debut. Especially with how heralded the defense was, supposed to be with his first year with Elko being such a defensive, kind of mastermind, and that's, kind of where he cut his teeth. The defense, I'm not saying it was bad. It obviously wasn't bad if we're saying, it was a sloppy game and whatnot, but there was definitely room for improvement, especially there at the end, to just not find a way to get that stop at the end and let Notre Dame go
Yeah.
down to win the game. Two times. They kicked the field goal, but then they also went and, scored the touchdown to win the to put themselves on top with a couple minutes left, a few minutes left in the game. They just gave
They
up. They
got
just gave
time.
up. Right, gave up key plays
They
and
got
key
time.
moments, and that's kind of the name of the game. Gave up the biggest plays and the biggest moments. Some teams got to make them. Right, one
Come on
team's got to
now.
make the big
Come
play,
on now.
and it wasn't A&M. So it's a tough one to lose in their debut. They didn't look great up front offensively, which they haven't for the past few years. This is kind of a common theme, for A&M. The reason Connor's been hurt the last couple of years, is because he's been on his back. So, that's kind of a concern. They didn't give up many tackles. Like I said, Notre Dame, it's not going to be a stat or a performance that wowed you from a stat perspective. It's not
No,
like they
no.
had 18 sacks or 12 tackles for losses. But once again, they just did enough to bother Wigman, and that A&M line up front just wasn't effective enough. For me, Connor was surprisingly bad. I'm pretty high on Wigman. I
I didn't
like
expect
Wigman.
that, bro.
Right. He's flashed the past couple of years. This is a former, once again, four or five star recruit. Can't remember off the top of my head, but top rated recruit coming out in the country.
Come on, man.
And he's looked really, really good in past years, in the past couple of seasons when he's been able to play, when he's been healthy, he's looked really good. And he did not look good, and it wasn't It wasn't
He
any
looked out of his element, bro.
right. He
Like,
was like he was genuinely bad. He just did not have a good game. And I don't think I think it's important to remember this was week one and two. He hasn't played much, right? So he's knocking his own rust off. And
yeah.
you know, I don't know if there are any injuries that maybe weren't disclosed that he's dealing with. I don't know, but it wasn't a great game. It wasn't a great game from Connor Wigman. Good news is this is probably the best defense that they're gonna play all year. I mean, they're at least up until Texas. I mean, their only other ranked matchups right now, ranked as in the AP poll, off the top of my head, I think are Missouri and LSU. And I don't think either LSU definitely doesn't have a defense as good as Notre Dame's.
No, they don't.
We go ahead and put that out there right now.
They don't.
Missouri, I mean, you know, Jerry's kind of still out defensively. They'll be much improved, but I mean, they're losing a bunch of staffers. Moral of the story is I don't think Missouri's defense is as good as Notre Dame. So there's only room to go up, and that they'll be kind of facing a schedule that allows them to go up. I did have A&M as a playoff team in my playoff predictions. I know you didn't. But I mean, to that point, you know, the loss, you know, kind of hurts a playoff resume. But to that point, if Notre Dame's a playoff team, which I also had Notre Dame as a playoff team, they hung in there with Notre Dame, man. Like
Yeah,
they went, you
they're
know,
not
toe to
back of the
toe with
pack type of team, man.
this.
It's
This
just
wasn't
that it's a
a
solid football team.
absolutely. This wasn't a Georgia Clemson situation where one team just looked 1,000% better. Notre Dame's
Yeah.
obviously not Georgia. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way. But
Yeah.
Texas A&M isn't, you know, that far off. So I do think, you know, there's of course room for improvement. Anytime you lose a game, there's a lot of room for improvement. But I do think those improvements will be made. And it's important to remember this is week one. And I think we'll see A&M, especially as the season goes along, as they you know, start to kind of gel a little more. And they got, like I said, they got one of the more favorable schedules you can ask for in the SEC. So you know, we'll see. That game in Gainesville is looming. And I think we'll get a couple of answers there from both teams. So you know, on to game of our personal opinion, game of the weekend. LSU USC last night.
Shout out SC, man.
Right. So you know, great game. USC scored with what, like 4 seconds left to win the game.
Dog, when I tell you, I could not believe Lincoln Riley's football team touched the
They
grass
look
like this,
physical,
bro.
dog. Like they
Dog,
look good.
I'm talking about they look light years better than they looked last year with the best quarterback in America on their team, debatably. You
Best
know,
quarterbacks ever.
come on now. Talking about debatably, man. Y'all people out there that want to talk about Caleb Williams, I get the media buzz really puts a lot of narratives out there and puts a lot of topics into your head. But when we're speaking about football skill set, when it comes to the quarterback position, Caleb Williams is a true prodigy and one of the best college football
Truly.
quarterbacks the game has seen. You don't win the Heisman Trophy for anything or put a film like he has and get drafted like he has for nothing. But dog, to say that he came over to SC with Lincoln Riley in his first year as the head coach there. And out like they didn't expect to win 12 games, but they did. And that's why Caleb won the Heisman, because they wouldn't have done it without him. But their issues were not, you know, their defense was not physical. The defense lacks playmaking ability when it needs it. And when you play a team that Showtime with an offense anywhere near as electric as yours, they can't keep up. And last year was the same type of thing going on with less of a variety of talent surrounding Caleb and surrounding the offense as well. But now the team also looks more gelled as a unit as far as just being
100%.
a complete balanced out team than ever, like than ever before when it comes to Lincoln Riley being a coach at SC.
Yeah.
Both sides of the ball are connected, bro. Like they look like or they look like a team. They look like they act like a brotherhood type of program. Miller Moss is a true gunslinger, dog. Zach Branch is gonna be a first round pick one day, dog. I couldn't believe the defense, though, man. The physicality from the DBs,
Yeah,
dog.
that was a key.
The physicality from the DBs, the confidence in the reads, the first steps that they make, the choices that they're making off the snap, off the whistle, off the dribble, dog. The tackling was there, the
That,
composure was there. Like just the fact
yeah.
that no matter, okay, we ain't get the stop this time, but they're not scoring. We're gonna get the stop. We're gonna get them off the field without scoring any points. And we're gonna
Absolutely.
keep going at them every play, bro. Like, just the mindset is different. They look like a composed team, bro. And
Yeah.
going back to the beginning, Lincoln, or like I said at the beginning of the episode, Lincoln Riley stated this offseason, he wanted his team to gain weight, get stronger, to be more physical without losing speed. And SC showed me a lot last night. That's all I gotta say.
They did. I think to your point, I think the competitive integrity for me was the biggest key. I
Competitive
mean,
integrity, dog.
right. They would give up a big play, but they didn't blink.
Come
You
on,
know,
man.
last year it felt like defensively, they give up a big play, you might as well go ahead and give up a touchdown. You know what I mean? I mean,
We
there was,
suck.
right, we suck, we're sorry, go
What?
ahead.
Man,
Hey,
that was.
Caleb, go ahead and put some points on the board. You know what I mean? I mean, it was night and day difference. And I don't know how much of a difference Danton Lynn, the hiring of Danton Lynn made, you know, coming over from UCLA, but I mean,
Goodness.
he caught a hell of a game yesterday. And that defense, I mean, they gave up their big plays. Kyron Lacy made his plays.
100% man, that's an NFL
Emory,
caliber receiver.
absolutely. Emory Jr., he made his plays. Nussmeier was, we'll talk about Nussmeier in a minute, but he was in control of the offense, you know, for most of the game.
Yeah.
But I mean, that being said, you know, like you said, anytime they give up a big play, okay, they got us that time, but we're good. We're gonna keep fighting, we're gonna keep hanging in there.
Yo, they battled, and I don't
They
think
did.
LSU expected that at all. Like,
Right.
it caught LSU off guard that USC came to the game to
Yeah.
battle.
Yeah,
Like,
they
them
did.
boys thought they were about to run them out of the
They did in typical LSU fashion.
building.
But yeah,
Typical.
right. USC, I mean, they fought, and that's what I think that was kind of what was really refreshing to see, because I
Yeah,
mean, to
dog.
Tony's point, if this team could play, if I don't think people realize if USC could play any type of defense over the last
Two
two
seasons.
seasons, they would have a national title.
They have bottom barrel, like they have bottom barrel defensive stats when
Nah,
it comes
piss
to the
poor.
entire FBS. When you look at their defensive stats for the 2023 and 2022 season, dog, I'm talking about back 90, back 100, back 110, and in the whole FBS, what is it,
It's
130 teams?
36 teams.
Are you kidding me? And you got the best quarterback in America on your offense, running,
And
leading the team, and running this.
quite frankly, you're USC. Like, you got access to the best resources, the best coaches, the best talent,
This is
all
LA
of this,
we're
right?
talking
You
about,
got
bro.
you got
Y'all got the money to build the roster. If we're talking about boosters and NIL too, no, and you can attract the recruit. You can recruit your pipelines like no other. You can expand and travel the whole entire map
right.
and get people, whoever you want, to come to this school if you can set the standard, dog. And the defensive standard has not been there, but dog, they own some now.
Absolutely.
And shout out to the offense, man. The receivers, it's a big receiver room out there at
It
SC.
is, and all of them make plays.
That's how Lincoln Riley gets down though, bro. He sometimes he'll have his superstars, and it just so happened that Zach Branch, dog, you ain't got, like, come on, bro. This kid is electric, man. Like,
He's a threat
get
every time he
the
touches the
come
ball.
on, bro. Every time he touches the ball, they're scared he can score. They're scared he can take it the distance, dog. And everybody else, like Kyron Hudson with the one-handed grab
He
type of
made plays
thing.
all night
He
too.
made plays all night, bro. And these are kids who, in the past 2 seasons, these kids have been at SC.
They've
Like,
been there.
these
They
kids came
waited
to
their
SC
turn.
and waited their turn.
Miller Moss included. Miller Moss
Miller
included.
Moss been there for 3 seasons. Malachi Lemon has been there for a year, like, not transferring. Like, bro, they believe in Lincoln Riley.
They do.
They think he is still the guy to be able to lead them to a national championship as far as a team, as far as a brotherhood and a man believing in their coach to get them somewhere in this season, bro, when it comes to the progress in the championship tier.
Absolutely.
Man, so hey, dog,
And
that's a big deal.
100%. And before we move on to LSU, I do want to I just want to give a shout out to Lincoln Riley. He's been a subject of criticism, really his entire time as a coach, even dating back to Oklahoma, including by me. I mean, we've criticized
Yeah,
Lincoln Riley,
100%.
and it was 100% garnered. Like, he needed criticism. You know, the level of defense that was played, up until
Because
hopefully the rest of the season.
that's how great he is at offense,
Right,
yo. That's how great he is.
he just needs a top 50 defense. Like, literally, it's not the bar is the floor. It wasn't much to raise
A
it. You
top
know what I mean?
50 defense, dog. And it just couldn't happen. I don't even want to remember the dude's name, but he was the same defensive coordinator
Alex
with him.
Grinch.
Alex Grinch was the same defensive coordinator with him at Oklahoma. He
That
brought him to
wasn't getting
SC.
stops then.
He brought in the SC, their defense got way worse. Like, dog, you kind of had some type of NFL talent on that roster when y'all were in Oklahoma. Y'all were making playoffs. Couldn't even do that out in Southern
Absolutely, in
California,
LA,
man.
right? So for me to see Lincoln Riley kind of talk about it all off season and kind of have these last 2 years with the, I think Lincoln knew, he's coached some great quarterbacks, obviously with Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts, Baker Mayfield.
Heisman.
He's coached some amazing quarterbacks, and I think even he knew Caleb Williams was better than all of those guys. So to not win a national championship with Caleb Williams was kind of his last straw.
Because Caleb believed in Lincoln.
Right. And so for Caleb to go, or for Lincoln to get to the offseason, and saying, okay, it's time, we're going to be intentional about getting better. We're going to do this, and this. And it's one thing for people to talk about it, right? Anybody
Come
can
on,
say
man.
anything to sound good,
Come
you
on,
know what I
man.
mean? But he did it, and they you can truly see that there were steps in place for them to get better, right?
Come
It's
on
one
now.
thing to get to the press conference and say, yeah, well, we need to get better on defense, but how are you going to do it? What are you going to
Exactly,
do? What
man.
are you going to do about it, about being so bad on defense? And they went out and they figured it seemingly it's only 1 week. It's only 1 week, but
Man, but this,
seemingly.
like he's saying, like you're saying, it's a calculated approach.
Right, exactly. There was a plan in place. They were intentional about it, and I remember Sark, when they came and won in Alabama, they came and won in Tuscaloosa last season, and they dominated the fourth quarter and kind of really beat a Saban team at what Saban was always preaching was the fourth quarter. And it would come a year after Sark's Texas-led teams blew all of those second half leads. And he made it a point to say in his post-game interview, you are what you're intentional about. You are what you practice. And Lincoln took that to heart. And I mean, he kind of took that and ran with it. He was very intentional on improving that defense, improving not only the defensive staff, but the defensive personnel,
Come on, man.
improving
The transfers that SC has
the
on their field,
development.
come on
Right.
now. They were ready to play now. Like, they're
They
ready to play
were.
now. They
They
came to
were.
SC because, okay, we got a slot to play and we're trying to be better than the defense was the past two
Absolutely.
seasons. Like they say, this is a new era of college football. You're bringing kids in according to your objectives as a head coach and as a recruiter. You're not just bringing somebody in. Oh, he looked pretty cool, solid and cool. He'll be all right to be at the back of the depth chart. Maybe we'll get something out of
That's
him one
not
day.
it's not just a body. You need to
Yeah,
bring impact.
well.
You can bring impact players in now.
Yeah, you're not on the
And
roster to be in place, dog. We
exactly,
need the
exactly.
production, dog. Yeah, we need
And
the wanting. We need to see that you are here to get better, to develop, and to help us win,
right.
most importantly.
To contribute to the culture.
Come on now.
And he's
Help
done
build.
that. And he's also, to Tony's point, talked about he wanted the team to get stronger, get physical, and kind of remain with that same speed. And they seem like they've checked all those boxes. And
Can't keep emphasizing it, bro. Like
you can't
it may
say it
seem
enough.
simple, but dog, the leap that they've taken without that talent that they had at certain positions that was NFL bound his first 2 years,
It's
man,
night and day.
just like we were talking about Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey, kind of they don't handicap Carson Beck. They didn't handicap Carson Beck or Mike Bobo, but
They didn't.
you get into a headspace where,
You're
come on
looking
now.
for them.
You're looking for them more than anybody else. And it wouldn't matter if somebody else was open. We're not even necessarily trying to get the ball there. And who's to tell that we can even count on them because they didn't got in the headspace of the ball ain't coming to me.
Exactly.
Real talk, bro.
Exactly.
So this SC team, it ain't none of that. Mental narrative the media has put, bro, it's no wishy-washy mindset. These guys are connected on an internal basis. And
Yeah,
man,
no, I completely agree.
I can't be mold.
I'm ready to see what they've got. I was so
Jeez.
on the fence of SC's, kind of outlook, and it wasn't a great 10 for other Big Ten teams, a great weekend for other Big Ten teams. I don't know what I just
Man.
said, but it wasn't a great weekend for other Big Ten teams. And to kind of see this all taking shape, it was
Man.
really a great weekend for USC fans, man, to see Oregon struggle, to see Michigan struggle, to see, I mean, Ohio State didn't necessarily struggle, but they were playing Akron, and
Come on now.
there was definitely room for improvement.
Come on now. And I'm not like Will Howard. I don't know if at the end of this season, like I really hope at the end of this season, people ain't gonna say, oh, Kyle McCord wasn't that bad. I hope that's not what we get
Yeah,
to, man.
right, exactly. But if it is, that's great news for SC fans, man.
Yes,
And
man.
I'm excited to see what Lincoln's gonna do over there. So I guess on to LSU, man, they just can't seem to win one of these openers. First off, they've
Brian Kelly.
dropped the FSU back to back years, dropped to dropped all this, obviously this one to SC. And to Tone's point, it's Brian Kelly. I mean, Brian Kelly is they've I don't know what else to do. I think it almost feels like a culture issue though. Like you've got
Yes, though,
Tony and
like,
I, we so we were talking,
what?
Tony and I were talking before we recorded it, and you've got guys like Kyron Lacy, immense talent, extremely talented.
Extremely talented.
But you're doing all these crazy celebrations in the end zone, which is great. Great that you
Come on,
score, bruh.
dog.
Do your thing, do your thing. But
We are
bruh,
going to support you dancing and talking trash and being a competitor 10 times out of 10.
exactly. And that is at a certain point, like you think about it's the little things, right? You go out, you do that celebration. Okay, great. You scored a touchdown, but now you cost the team 15 yards. And then what happens? Zachariah Branch, because you can no longer kick the ball in the end zone on the ensuing kickoff, Zachariah Branch takes the ball 60 yards, and now you're giving Miller Moss and that offense that has been cooking the
Come
ball on
on.
the 30-yard line, right?
Come on, dog.
It's the little things, and we I'm not saying we, I'm not no LSU fan. They have to figure out a way
Hey.
to fix the culture. It's from within, it's from inside. It's not a talent thing. It's not a
Yeah.
talent thing. LSU, I think it was Nick Saban said in week zero, you shake a tree down in Louisiana, you got dudes falling out that's going to the NFL. Like, you know what I mean? They're all over the place in Louisiana, especially on LSU roster. They're one of the most talented rosters in the country. They always will be. LSU is a talent rich, or LSU, Louisiana is a talent rich state.
Come on
They
now.
got access to Texas resource. They got access to Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia. They got access to resource all over to South Florida.
That's their pipeline, man.
Right, exactly. So the talent isn't the issue. These guys are going to the NFL. They just put two first round receivers in the NFL a season ago.
Come on, man.
And lost four games,
Come on, dog.
So
What's
it
gonna unify the team on both sides of the ball? What's gonna
right.
mesh it? Like, you got a Lacey talent, you got a Muss, Garrett talent. Garrett Muss is a Come on now.
Garrett Nussmeier is going. He's going.
He's
He's
going
an
to the
NFL
NFL,
talent,
man.
right? These guys are NFL talent. These guys
But
were 4 and 5 stars coming out of high school. They're not scrubs.
what? Why isn't everybody necessarily on the same page?
There's no team dynamic.
Come on now. It's good players. It's great players, and that's gonna cover up a lot of different things.
Absolutely,
It's gonna cover up
absolutely.
a lot of things when you can just let your boys go out there and play.
Right.
Even though certain things can be controversial at times, they go out on the field and they get the job done. That covers up a lot of things. But at the end of the day, you have to be a problem solver and move forward to make your team the best as a head coach, man. And Brian Kelly, like, he has control of his teams. His players listen to him. His coaches listen to him. I've seen him in post game, but in preseason interviews. I've seen him in offseason interviews talking about his team and his staff. And it seems like he has control of the program, but
But do you?
it gets to certain points where it's like, I don't know if everybody's just on the same page as Brian Kelly and inside of that building.
Right.
So like, the truth will come to light, but LSU's gonna play good football this season.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're obviously capable. Their best football's in front of them. Once again, it's week one. It's hard to draw
Come on.
crazy conclusions from week one, and we don't know what's gonna happen, but I mean, early returns aren't great, right?
Yeah, right.
And at this point, it's college football. Every game matters. Every week matters. Doesn't matter if it's week 1 or week 13.
Come on.
Every week matters. And you've got to figure out a way to start winning some of these close ones, some of these battles.
Come
And
on,
they
man.
haven't done it since he's gotten there.
Straight up.
One concern for me is, as far as the future, as far as Brian Kelly's future at LSU goes and his tenure at LSU goes, is they haven't really hit on any of those transfers that they've been bringing in defensively. It seems like, especially back in the secondary, their kind of approach has been they're going to portal in an entire secondary, and it hasn't worked. They haven't hit on it. I don't know if it's the fact that a culture issue or the fact that maybe they just haven't scouted these guys correctly and haven't hit on any of these,
That's what
but
I'm saying,
they,
man.
I mean, they.
And that's not typical of LSU. LSU takes pride in having a great defense when it comes to
They
their
call
secondary,
themselves
especially.
DBU. I
Come
mean,
on now.
so,
Come on now.
right.
LSU in Florida, they're in a situation, they're in a standpoint right now, time
They
period right now,
got
where
some things to figure out.
they're not doing it right, bro. So,
Absolutely.
hey, one thing I did want to say was, the offense doesn't really have a run game that they
Right.
rely
Emory
on or
made a
lean
couple
on.
plays, but.
And that pass rush, man, like you're talking about the secondaries, that pass rush is kind of non-existent.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you're hoping to kind of see Harold Perkins, step back into the role that he's in, and then they go out the offseason and say, nah, he's gonna keep playing outside, keep playing his former role that doesn't allow him to showcase the best of his abilities. And then to your point, and they made a couple of plays on the run, in the running game. The running game looked better than it did really at any point last year, which is sad to say
Sad
because
to
it still
say.
wasn't all that effective.
Come on now, this is LSU we're talking about.
This is right. So that's kind of a key point, Tone, is
Yeah.
this isn't, South Carolina. No
Come on now.
disrespect to South Carolina. This
But
isn't
one thing about it
Wake
though,
Forest.
and one thing that we do understand is, hey, the clock in the calendar is way wider and way more time and years and days on it than that we have lived in. Just because certain schools, conferences, and programs have been dominant and have had their runs and have had their time periods.
Doesn't mean it's always going to be that
Doesn't
way.
mean that's
Your
always
helmet
going to
don't
be
play
like
for
that.
you. Your
Yeah, come
brand don't
on.
play
The
for you.
brand don't play for you. The jersey, the helmet don't play for you. The school and every trophy in the case that you haven't earned does not play for you.
A logo don't win football games.
So, yes, we do understand that, hey, as times change, as years go on, certain programs are going to embody certain type of football.
Absolutely.
Like it's certain things are going to change, and that's only time will tell. But we're seeing, I don't want to say we're seeing shifts in time currently, but bro, if you pay attention real close, you'll be able to see that everything is changing.
Absolutely.
Everything is changing. It's not the same 2000 type of 2010 type of college football. And hey, we all gonna be in tune to say to see what's up, what
Absolutely.
happens. Jeez.
What's next for LSU?
Yeah.
So, great week of college football. I think I know we've got y'all here for about a coming up on an hour and a half. So I think, Tony, you had a couple of quick hitters you wanted to hit on.
Shoot, man. Really, I just want to shout out McMillan from Arizona. Big game. Big game, bro. Video game numbers. It doesn't matter who you're playing in a situation like this. Not many ball players can say they have done what he did in a college football game, whether they're NFL Hall of Famer or not, dog. Like that's a big
He's
deal to a
all
baller.
there.
Come on, that's a big deal. Outside of that, man, I really don't have too many takeaways. Oregon didn't really show me their best football. We're gonna go in and talk about them later on.
Absolutely. Well,
Come on now, I want to hit on that Will Howard and Ohio State quarterback situation, just because we've had our convos about Will Howard and
don't
hey,
think either of us are his biggest fan.
we're not his biggest supporters at all, dog. But we do understand that he's capable of
Leading a
winning.
college offense.
Come on now,
Absolutely.
leading a college offense and winning, especially when you got the talent of Ohio State football
Jeremiah
team
Smith,
surrounded by you.
right? You got a Jeremiah Smith
Yeah, man.
around you.
Michigan quarterback situation, man.
We're going to talk about that. So, we got, like I said, I noticed this episode's getting long. We got a couple episodes coming to
Bro,
y'all
like,
later
come
this
on,
week.
y'all.
We're going to give y'all some predictions for week two, and
We
then we're
love
going
this
to hit
ball
on,
shit.
absolutely. We're going to hit on, we're gonna hit on some of the smaller games, bigger games between big schools and smaller schools, I guess I should say, later this week as well. We got a couple of
Boy.
episodes coming for y'all. I just don't want to hold y'all too long.
Come on now. Yeah.
But yeah, so absolutely. So y'all gonna hear our thoughts. Like Tony said, we're gonna come to y'all with Ohio State analysis. We're gonna come to y'all and talk about Michigan, Oregon. I do got a couple thoughts on Alabama that I kind of want to get to. I know they only played Western Kentucky, won by 60 something.
Shout out Ryan Williams.
Shout out Ryan Williams, ball player, Jalen Milroe, ball player, Quay Rousseau, unexpected
Shout out
name to
Milroe.
hear on the defensive line if you're an Alabama fan. Not unexpected if you're an Alabama fan, but a good name to hear if you're an Alabama fan. So we definitely got some more things coming to y'all this week. But Tone, you got anything else for now, bro?
Man, for now, that's it. Just stay tuned, man. We're gonna have more episodes. We're gonna have more content. We're gonna have better episodes. We are
We coming, man.
bought in for this 2024 season, man. Let's do it. Better than ever.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we'll catch y'all later on this week, man. Y'all stay safe. Have a great Labor Day if you listening to this on Labor Day. If not, have a great rest of y'all week, man. We appreciate y'all.
Deuces.